What we want this morning, isn't it? We want to be a living sanctuary in which Jesus comes and He dwells in us by His Spirit. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and grateful for all of you who are gathered here this morning. Just want to remind you of a few announcements. Be sure and remember, right after morning worship this morning, we'll be going down to the Family Life Center for a going away dinner for Tyler and Brianna and the girls. And so you guys be sure and stay. I was down there just a little while ago, and there appears to be lots of food. So be sure and remember that. No choir practice, no small groups this evening because of our dinner today. So be sure and remember we won't be having choir practice or small groups this evening. NDI Council will be meeting Wednesday night at 5 o'clock in the conference room. So all of the new members of the NDI Council, be sure and remember that. Wednesday night activities at 6 o'clock. MomCo. What is MomCo? MOPS. Y'all have been listening. That's good. MomCo. MOPS will be meeting Thursday at 9:30 and be going until 11. If you can help out with that, be sure and see Sue. I know that that they would appreciate your help for the children that they will have on Thursday morning. We are collecting money for the Plateau Pregnancy Center. Those bottles are in the foyer. This is an annual offering that we do, and you can place cash or check in that bottle or in those bottles. And if you're going to make out a check, be sure to make it out to Plateau Pregnancy Center, and we'll be collecting this through Mother's Day. Bread of Life Ministry team is asking that if you can help this month, be sure to make a monetary donation for the May meal, and that will be this coming Saturday. So if you can help out with that, be sure and put it in the Bread of Life box that's out there in the foyer. May 19 through 22, we will be having revival with Billy Huddleston. Many of you remember Billy. He was here just a couple of years ago, and he's going to be back May the 19th through the 22nd. We'll start Sunday morning and go through Wednesday night, but it is going to be a great time, and I encourage you to be inviting somebody to come and be a part of those services with you. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and we appreciate it so much. Through your faithfulness, we're able to do a lot of things that we might not otherwise be able to do, and we do appreciate your faithfulness in giving, and the offering boxes are there in the back of the church. Any other announcements? Lord bless you. We're so glad that you're here today.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this opportunity to gather in your house and worship you. We're thankful that you know our name. We're thankful that in this world that's full of all kinds of things, that you can pick us out of a crowd. And we can be known by a God who never sleeps and never slumbers, and who is intimately concerned about even the smallest details of our life. So God, this morning, as we're reminded of your greatness, I pray that you would help us to give a little bit of what we have back to you. God, as we worship you this morning, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. God, that you would meet with us in this place, that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have had an encounter with Almighty God. God bless in the remainder of this time we have here together. And for what you do, we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
touch him, you will never be the same.
Thank you, Lord, for the truth of those words. You are indeed here this morning by the power of your Spirit to call us by name. We're so thankful, Lord, that you know us, you understand us. You know the circumstances of life that each of us face. And we're grateful, Lord, that through what Jesus did on the cross, that we can face those circumstances through your power, through your strength, and with your help. You are the great burden bearer. And so, Lord, this morning we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. And we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be here to declare to these who are here, but also to our world who may be watching, that our God is indeed great, and that he is mighty, and that he is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Lord, we're thankful for all the things that you've done in times past, but Lord, this is a new service, and we need a fresh anointing. And we're so thankful, Lord, that as we have worshiped you in song this morning, that we have sensed your presence. We're so thankful, Lord, for the ways that you are working. And we believe, God, that in this time that we have together, as we continue to worship, and in just a few moments as we hear your word proclaimed, that you are going to do something special in our hearts and in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, for these who have gathered here, but Lord, we know that they came today with needs and burdens. May you speak. May you help. May you give hope as only you can. And today, Lord, as we worship you and as we hear from you, we give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As he's coming up here this morning, Friday, at the Board of Ministry meeting, the Board of Ministry for the East Tennessee District voted to recommend Tyler to our district assembly, which will happen in July, that he be ordained in the Church of the Nazarene elder. We are very proud for him, very proud of him, and believe God's going to do great things as he preaches the word of God in this generation. Bless you, Tyler.
I'm going to share a song with you, but before I do that, I want to tell you a story. It's from the Olympic Games in Mexico in 1968, and I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you again just to kind of put this song in context. It was the Olympic Games in Mexico in 1968, and the marathon was the final event on the program. The stadium was packed as an Ethiopian runner was the first one to enter the stadium. A little further back in the pack was a guy by the name of John Stephen Akwari. He was from Tanzania, and he had been passed up by all the other runners. He had actually suffered a pretty significant knee injury. His muscles were aching, his legs were throbbing, and the officials had done everything within their power to convince this guy to give up and quit. Several hours after the first runner entered the stadium, John Stephen Akwari entered the stadium, and there wasn't really anybody left to see that, but he hobbled his way around the track at a painstakingly slow pace and collapsed across the finish line in what is often regarded as one of the most heroic efforts in Olympic history. There were still a few reporters left there, and one of the reporters approached John Stephen Akwari and asked him a question. He said, "Why didn't you give up? Why didn't you quit? You were hurt, you were broken, all these things. Why didn't you just give up?" This is what John Stephen Akwari said in response to that. He said, "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish." And so my challenge to you this morning is to understand that you weren't sent here to this earth to simply start a race. You were sent here for a very specific purpose. That purpose is to finish the race and to witness to the goodness of God as you're enduring that journey. So I'm going to sing a song for you this morning. Just listen to the words and hope it'll bless you. Mm-hmm.
there will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see him face to face, to hear him say, well done, my child, you finished your race. But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done, while we're waiting for the promise of what is yet to come. Finish well every day that you are given, finish well for the glory of his name, finish strong until the Savior finally calls you home. Give it everything you have, finish truth in saying we've seen our better days. These are the days to be courageous, bold and full of faith. So no matter where life leads you, no matter what it costs, let the church arise and lift the banner of the cross.
Everything ready for the service as we normally do. Did I turn it off? There you go. And he would practice that song, and I said, and you expect me to preach after you sing that? And he said, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. Oh, me. I want to speak to you this morning about follow the leader. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1. Verses 16 through 38. I know that is a long passage of Scripture, but if you will give me the opportunity, I'm going to read all of those verses to you this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He has given orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with Jesus and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you remember playing the game? I mean, you know the game pretty well, I would imagine. It's called Follow the Leader. We used to play it outside when we were kids. My cousin David, who was the largest of all of the cousins, and I don't mean that in an ugly way, he was just the oldest and the tallest. And he would make me and his two brothers, Mike and Joel, play Follow the Leader with him. And we took some pretty wild trips around Bobo's yard. Now, if you don't know who Bobo is, that is my grandma Bonnie, okay? And we took some pretty wild trips around Bobo's yard and playing Follow the Leader with David. And he would never allow any of us to be the leader. He was the biggest. And I sure wasn't going to mess with him. Because I'm a chicken. But this morning, I'm the leader. So we're going to play Follow the Leader in here, okay? So here we go. I want you to do what I do, okay? Here we go. Wow, Nazarenes can raise their hand in church. I got you there, didn't I? Tyler, remember that, okay? Didn't take long for us to want to quit playing, you know, because David was always the one being the leader. It reminded me, you know, when we would stop playing after I grew up a little bit, I heard John Maxwell say that he that thinks he leads and no one follows is only taking a walk. David took lots of walks. S.I. McMilkin, in his book None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but as she was filling out the application for her college entrance, there was a blank there that, or a question there that asked, "Are you a leader?" To which the young lady decided that she would answer honestly, and she wrote no, figuring that that would for sure ensure that that she would not be accepted. To her surprise, though, a few days later, she received a letter from the college, and it said this: "Dear applicant, a study of your application reveals this year that our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." I think the question that we have to come to this morning, as we are at this point in time in the service, is I think when it comes to following Jesus, are we the follower or do we want to be the leader? Because you see, I really want to tell you, and I'm honest with you this morning, if we're not willing to be the follower, if we must be the leader of our own lives, then we are simply playing games with Jesus. We want to be leaders, especially in our own life. Pastors go to conferences in hopes that they will come back and be leaders. Leadership books are selling everywhere still today. And you know, when you begin to interview pastors, a lot of times one of the questions that they ask is, "What is your leadership style?" The reality of it is, we can't forget that we not only are leaders in a congregation, but we are also followers in a congregation. Joseph Stoll, who was the former pastor of Moody Bible Church in Chicago, said, "Keep looking in the road ahead and make sure Christ is there. Make sure He is walking in front of you. Keep walking with Him and then look over your shoulder and you'll find there is someone following you because you are following Christ." Please understand, I am not preaching this morning at Tyler Rutherford. I'm preaching to every person in this room, including me. So don't say, "Oh, he's telling him what to do." No, I'm not. As of this coming, well, I guess at the end of the day, his job description that says, "and everything else is assigned by the lead pastor," doesn't apply any longer. So one thing that we need to keep in mind in the heart of this thing of following is that when we become a follower of Jesus, He is going to take us to places that we've never been before. He is going to take us to people whom we have never gone to before, and for reasons we will never know why we're going from time to time. And so Jesus, to a certain extent, is saying to us, "Come, let's play follow the leader." The first thing that I want you to notice, and I read a long passage of Scripture to you this morning. The first thing that I want you to notice, and we're going to look at three things today, is that let's look at where Jesus is going to lead us. Look at verse 16 one more time. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him, and when they had gone on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I'm amazed when I look at this passage of Scripture because I see men here who were by vocation fishermen. That was their regular business. That was what they knew more about than anything else in this world. And this day, as Jesus is there, he comes along as they were busy with ordinary things that kept them in business. They're busy with all of these ordinary things. They're casting, they're caring for their nets, and it was in this comfortable situation for them that Jesus calls them. I doubt very seriously that they ever thought that they would leave the family business. But when Jesus comes along and he calls them and he says, "Come follow me," he is saying to them, "I'm now going to be the leader of your life, and all your other business interests are not as important." And it's interesting when you look at this that they immediately drop their nets. They began to follow after Jesus. Following after Jesus became their new vocation in life. It led them out of their comfort zone. They quit casting nets and began to learn from Jesus. You read here about James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They not only left their business, but they left their family. Because Jesus says, "Come after me," and they went with him. Jesus says something in Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. He says, "If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." What is Jesus saying in that passage of Scripture? Jesus is saying that we have to get out of our comfort zones. We have to get out of our comfort zones and we move into those zones in which we really never thought of. We really didn't know where He was going to lead us. He's taking us out of the ease of tradition. He's taking us out of the ease of the ordinary to do things that we really don't feel like we can do. He's calling us to follow Him. Now, please understand this morning that the call of God is not just for those who are in vocational ministry. We somehow have that idea that those who are in vocational ministry are the ones who are called by God to follow after Him. That is wrong. It is heresy. Every person in this room, if you are following Jesus, you have been called. He has called you to do something in His kingdom. It just happens that some of us are called into vocational ministry. It happens that some of us do this because this is what God called us to do. And I've told you before, this is not what I had planned to do. It sounds like a sissy thing, but I wanted to be a band director. I love music. Absolutely love music. And if you catch me, sometimes I will be directing a song. And I'm sorry. It's just who I am, you know. I was never drum major. I wanted to be, but my best friend went out for drum major, and I wasn't about to go against him. But he calls some of us into vocational ministry who really don't feel like we are the people that he really wants or that he should want, but yet he calls anyway. And as Gail reminded us a few Wednesday nights ago, God doesn't necessarily call the equipped, but He equips those that He calls. And you have been called. You can't just sit in the pew and please Jesus. You can't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to be right here in this place and that's going to be good. Please understand, when Jesus calls you, if you are willing to follow the leader, He's going to lead you into places that you really never thought about going. Do you hear Him calling today? Hear Him call your name? Isn't that what we sang just a few moments ago? Well, not only do we need to see where Jesus will lead us, but we also need to see to whom Jesus will lead us. To whom Jesus will lead us. Look at verse 23 of Mark chapter 1. Jesus is in the synagogue, and a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cries out. Go on down to verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. You go to verse 34. It says that Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and He drove out many demons. When we follow after Jesus, we will find those to whom Jesus is leading us. You're going to discover that when you begin to follow Jesus, it's not about a where. It's about a who. And I'm not talking about the who's that Horton heard. I'm talking about the who. And the who. You see, Jesus leads us to those who follow Him to touch the lives of many people. The plights that men and women are constantly going through. I mean, oh my goodness, you go up and down the road and you see people in all kinds of situations, in all kinds of circumstances. Please understand, they are the who. They are the people we are called to minister to. It's interesting that these first followers of Jesus, really in their first service with Jesus, they have a man stand up in that service who is demon-possessed, and he begins to create issues. And Jesus says very sternly to him, "Be quiet." When I became district secretary of the Alabama North District, I had been district secretary for two or three days, when the district superintendent calls me and he says, "William, can you have somebody go and preach? Can you have somebody preach for you tonight?" And he said, "I've got someplace I've got to be." And he said, "I need you to go with me." And he told me the restaurant where I could meet him. And so I knew the place. And so I met him there. And we're sitting there. And as we are waiting on our food, he looked across the table at me and he said, "William, I want you to understand something. In your position, you are now about to see the underbelly of the church, and it's not pretty." Oh boy, I'm district secretary. I mean, these guys, Jesus calls them. They go into a service, and what do they have? They have a demon-possessed man stand up and begin to cry out. Now, that makes you want to follow somebody, doesn't it? They go to Simon Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is sick. We've just been through COVID. We don't want to be around sick people anymore. You know? And you go on down there in that passage, and it does say that Jesus healed many diseases and He cast out many spirits. I mean, you begin to think about this. these first followers of Jesus were immediately confronted by the meeting of the needs of the people to whom Jesus would go. Being in the way with Jesus always means that you're going to be dealing with people. And it doesn't matter whether you are in vocational ministry or whether you are in lay ministry, you're always going to be dealing with people. And folks, Cindy Richmond, who is my associate pastor in Baton Rouge, Cindy always said, ministry is in the mess. And sometimes as a lay person, sometimes as a pastor, ministry is going to be in the mess. Jesus, as the leader of our lives, has a distinct purpose for us. He says, I will make you fishers of men. He wants us to see people. He wants us to feel for people just as He sees and He feels for them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jim Cimbala, who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, said, you can measure your closeness to the Lord by your attitude toward men and women who are around you. And Jesus looked at the people who were around Him, and He desired to help them. He was passionately consumed with the needs of other people. And He wants those who follow after Him to be passionately consumed with the needs of other people. He says, I will make you to be fishers of men. Someone asked, which do you prefer, a life consumed with what we do or a life that touches people with the transforming, liberating work and worth of Christ? You see, as we follow the leader, Jesus will find out where He is going to lead us. We'll find out to whom He is going to lead us. And we'll also find out why He is leading us there, I believe. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. Listen at those last few words. That is why I have come. I mean, that has a very distinct evangelistic flavor to it, you know. He just doesn't call us to minister here or there. He calls us to take care of people for the sake of the down and the out. He leads us to take and proclaim the good news of salvation to those who do not know. Please understand something, folks. The Church of the Nazarene was founded on the wrong side of the tracks. The reason we have our name is not because somebody said, oh, well, that looks like a real good name. The reason that we have our name, it goes back to Philip and Nathanael. When Nathanael asked Philip, after Philip's been trying to get him to come and see Jesus, Nathanael asked Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And when the Church of the Nazarene was started in Los Angeles, California, many years ago, it was started on the wrong side of the tracks because those were the people that Dr. Brzee and the group that was there that they wanted to minister to because no other churches wanted to minister to those people on the wrong side of the tracks. He doesn't call us to merely do breadline stuff or to send stuff to a pregnancy center. Or He calls us to live out in those places, yes, but He also calls us to live out in our place where we are on a daily basis the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yesterday morning, I sat and listened to a fellow talk as he was coming to have his license renewed. And they ask him what was going on in his life. And they ask all kinds of questions at these things. And They ask him about his job because he's bivocational at this point in time. And he said, well, he said, I want you to understand that because of HR rules, I can't outwardly talk to people about Jesus. He said, but I want you to understand that I have realized that I can live differently than anybody else in that organization. And I have found, and he said, just this past week, had a lady whose lifestyle is not Christian come to me and say, I want you to pray for me because I really need something in my life. That's why Jesus is leading us to where we are going. He leads us there to be an example of the reality of why he lived and why we live. You see, Jesus shows us who the poor and the brokenhearted and the captive and the blind and the oppressed are. He tells us the why we are to preach and proclaim and herald the good news. And it's through all of that. Sometimes it's through the silence of living it out that he brings healing and liberty and recovery to lives. We preach Christ and him crucified with our lives, not just with our lips. That's why we're here, to proclaim the gospel so that people can be saved. That's the why. We do what we do. Application. I want you to understand that the idea of following Jesus requires a whole lot more of us than we ever dream. You know? It involves moving outside of ourselves. And to follow Jesus requires that he's going to be the leader of my life. And I ask you this question earlier. Are we willing to move beyond just playing follow the leader to a point that we are really following the leader, to places that we've never gone before, to people we've never seen before, to for reasons that maybe we don't know? All of this series the past few weeks started a few weeks before Pastor Tyler resigned. I knew in January that it was a real possibility. And I had all kinds of thoughts about it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that. I've already threatened our district superintendent that if he talks to Jack, that Jack doesn't read or write or have a phone. And so I wasn't happy about the fact that Tyler could be leaving, but I remember when I felt a call of God to leave an associate's position and move into a pastor's role. On January the 28th, in all of this time, I ran across a statement, and here's the statement I've been telling you about for weeks. It's by Natalie Runyon. It says, obedience isn't simple. It is filled with hard goodbyes and unknown tomorrows, followed by new hellos and assignments. I sent that to Tyler. You see, I would rather he be obedient to God and be somewhere else than be here and be walking against what God has for his life. And so today, we are all, Tyler, his family, Crossville First, we're all trying to walk in obedience. It is not going to be simple. It is not going to be easy. It involves goodbyes. It involves unknown tomorrows. But if we follow after Jesus, we've got to be obedient. And then as we are obedient, we'll have new hellos. We'll have new assignments. We will see new victories. We will see people brought into the kingdom. You're amazed I've made it this far, aren't you? I am too. Our prayer is for the best for Tyler and Brianna and those girls. And though we are sad to do so, we're going to send them off with our blessing and believing in them and for them, that God is going to do great things through them. The good news that we have as a congregation is that whatever accomplishments they have in their ministry, we have a part of because they have been a part of us. And as we pray for them, and you don't need to stop praying for them just because they're at Jamestown, okay? You know, he's pastored before. He knows that there are EGR people, and you have to come on Sunday nights to find out what EGR stands for. Extra grace required. But we pray God's blessing and God's best for you guys. We love them. And just believe God's going to do great things. Believe God's going to do great things. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you call us. You call us sometimes. We don't even think that we can do what we are doing, much less what you might call us to do. But we're thankful that you call us. And in the call, you equip us if we are obedient. Sometimes the lessons are hard. Sometimes the lessons are easy. But as we follow after you, we know that you've called us to be fishers of men and women, boys and girls. Whether we are in vocational ministry or whether we are in lay ministry, we are called to follow you and to win people to you. Help us to live out the reality of the gospel wherever we are. May people, whether we are in home, at our home or at Walmart or wherever we may be, may they see something different in us because of the reality of the Christ that we serve. We're so thankful for the past 2.5 years and the ministry that we have enjoyed. But Lord, you have new horizons. You have new assignments. You have new hellos. And so this morning we all follow in obedience after you, believing God that as we are obedient, you're going to do great and mighty things. You're going to duplicate and you're going to multiply the ministry as we walk in obedience to you. And so we believe you for that this morning. I pray, oh God, that you would help us. That you would help Tyler and Brianna as they go to a new assignment. That your grace would go before them. That you would even now begin to prepare people's hearts who don't know you. And may they be won to you because of their ministry there. We give you glory for that. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go from this place this morning, we're going to go down to the Family Life Center. We're going to eat together. We're going to enjoy a time of fellowship. We're not going to say goodbye. We're just going to say, see you later. And we're going to believe God to do great and mighty things through all of us. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for who you are. And we believe you to do great and mighty things. For you are indeed our great God and Savior. And we love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you were here this morning. We're going to have some time down in the fellowship hall to I think the girls are going to sing down there. And we're going to have a good time down there eating. If you didn't bring anything, I imagine there's plenty of food down there. We want you to stay and enjoy the meal together. May God bless you. Thank you for being here. They're going to be out in the hall or the foyer out there. If you're not going to go down for lunch, so go by and say hi to them and tell them how much you appreciate them. God bless you. You're dismissed.